Well, I am excited. I know I keep saying that, and Wayne says that, and Team says that, but I'm excited. And the next 5 weeks, we're just going to be kind of breaking down the strategic plan and looking at it biblically and seeing what Scripture has to say about these points. And I want to just begin by just sharing a story about Stacy and I. This was years ago when we lived up in Northeast PA. Friends of ours owned a house, and the house had a large nursery in the back with a number of raised kind of garden plots. And they just offered us one. It was like, you know, like a 4 foot wide by 12 foot long kind of raised bed. And they said, hey, we have some space. If you guys want to come and garden, you can just feel free to use this space. You can plant what you want. And Stacy and I kind of were, you know, our eyes got big, and we were like, yeah, wouldn't that be great to just kind of have our own garden? Well, we weren't thinking, like, it's 4 miles away from the house, right? So we weren't even thinking about the effects of that. And so we were like, yeah, we're going to plant broccoli, and we're going to plant beans and carrots, and I love Brussels sprouts. Let's plant some Brussels sprouts. And so we prepared the, and this was before we knew Dwight, so we didn't have his help. But we prepared the bed, and we, you know, planted it, and the girls were there, and we had this wonderful notion of a flourishing garden of which we would reap the fruit. In hindsight, if it wasn't for our friend who owned the land, who would periodically go and pull the weeds for us and cut the broccoli for us just before it bloomed, right? You got to get it before it blooms, right? So we did get a lot of broccoli. But that's pretty much all we got. And I share that. This is kind of a little humorous story, but I share it as a reminder for us that flourishing, while apart from Jesus, we can't flourish, right? But there is this kind of response that we need to take in this process. Flourishing will not just happen. It takes work. Like that garden. It takes some intentionality. You know, hopefully we have other believers that we're close to, that Sue is her name, who can come and maybe help us pull the weeds when we're not able to pull the weeds ourselves. But again, even that takes intentionality and points to community doing it together, right? And the church, I believe, and when we look at Jesus, a lot of his teachings, Jesus uses a lot of agricultural examples and imagery. And in a sense, I believe that the church can be likened to a garden. And God is calling us to tend it in order for it to flourish, in order for it to grow, in order for it to spread. And I want to focus in on that calling today. Do you want to get well? I want you to flourish. I want to specifically focus in on that word, flourish. Now, I have it on the screen for you. But for those of you that are interested in this sort of thing, the Greek word in the New Testament for flourish is auxaino. English transliteration, it's spelled A-U-X. A-U-X-A-N-O, auxaino. And it literally just means simply to grow or to flourish. It can mean to spread, and that's how it's usually translated. And so I did a word study this week. I said, okay, if we want to be a flourishing church, what does Scripture actually say about flourishing? I mean, it's in Isaiah 55:11. God's word comes and it leads to budding and growing and flourishing. What does it mean then to be a flourishing church? And I kind of come after studying these texts this week and looking at this word and how it's used, I came away with five things that I want to share with us today regarding a flourishing church. A flourishing church, number one, is connected to Christ. And we would think like, yeah, hello, tell me something I don't know. But there's a difference between just like saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And there's a difference between saying that and actually following after Jesus, right? There's a big difference. Jesus says in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we want any opportunity to flourish, if we want any opportunity of fruit bearing, which Jesus wants for us, we must be connected to him. Now that word oxeno is not in John 15:5. But a couple places it does show up in this regard is in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 2:21 is the first reference. And Paul says this, in him, so the him there is Jesus, right? So in Jesus, being connected to Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises. And that word rises in the NIV there is the word oxeno. So it's the word used for flourishing. Now, NIV translates it rises because it's kind of referring to the church as a building, kind of a building that's being erected. But the word, the underlying word is growing or flourishing. So the building church, the building up church, the growing and flourishing church is the one that's connected to Jesus. It's joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And then in verses 15 and 16, that word appears again. Instead, speaking the truth in love, which I believe is referring to the gospel truth of Jesus Christ, speaking the truth in love, we will grow, that's the word oxeno again, to become in every respect the mature body of Him. So we are the body of Christ. So as we speak the truth of Christ, we grow into the mature body of Christ, that is the picture of the flourishing church, of which Jesus is the head. That is Christ, Paul says. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows, that's that word, oxeno again, and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We will not flourish if you don't do your work. We will not flourish if we do not move ahead together. We will simply be a gathered group of individuals that are gathering together merely as individuals and scattering as individuals. To be a flourishing church means that we are connected to Jesus. And if we are connected to Jesus, subsequently to that, we then are connected deeply to one another. That's the first picture of a flourishing church. Connected to Jesus, connected to one another. Secondly, a flourishing church is growing in the Word. Is growing in the Word. Now, this is one of those points that has four subpoints, okay? A lot of scripture today, by the way. A lot of scripture. A flourishing church is a church that's growing in the Word. Capital W. And the first thing I want to point out about this is that we have to remember that God's word has a purpose. Man, I just want to say sometimes I feel, and it could be just related to social media and certain things I see. It might not be entirely true, but I just want to say I feel, and this is the teacher coming out of me, I worry, one of the things I worry about the American church is I feel like the Bible is under attack, to put it mildly. Right, it's under attack. Like it's kind of becoming like a secondary thing. You only use it if you need it, or is it really true, or does it really mean what it says? There's a lot of that going around, and I just want to say, be careful. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what your sources are, right? Because the first point here, God's word has a purpose. God's word has a purpose. And we heard about it in that Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11, which reminds us that as the rain, this is God speaking through his prophet, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish. Now, this is in the Hebrew, so that word oxeno is not used here. But God's word, just as the rain and snow fall down and makes the earth bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is with my word. that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Friends, God's Word has a purpose, and the purpose of His Word is to flourish. If we want to be flourishing believers, if we want to be a flourishing church, we need to be a church that is regularly diving into the Word, saturated with the Word, soaking in the Word, letting the Word soak over us, surrounding ourselves with the Word, speaking the Word to one another, having people speak the Word to us. We need to be Word-saturated people because the Word is the seed that God plants in us that can lead us to life. So let us dare not say, "Well, it's not true. It's unnecessary. We don't need this part," or "we don't need this part." It's not for us to say. It's God's. And it has a purpose. And that purpose is flourishing and growth in us, in His body, which isn't just for us. It spreads out beyond us as it works through us. Secondly, God's Word helps keep us connected to Christ. Back to John 15, verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." According to that context, the remaining in the vine and the bearing fruit are related to being connected to the Word of Jesus. Remain in me. How do we remain in Jesus? By remaining in His Word. It is His Word before it is our Word. So we remain in the vine by remaining in the Word. Jesus says in verse 7 of John 15, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." We can't go about the business of asking for whatever we want unless we are saturated with the Word first. Because if we're saturated with the Word, what we will be asking will not just be anything willy-nilly, but it will be in accordance with God and His kingdom, because we will be soaked and saturated with His Word. The third sub-point here, friends, God's Word is life. God's Word is life. Jesus Himself says in John 6:33, just as one example, He says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." If we are not experiencing fullness of life in Christ, which He Himself said, "I've come that you may have life to the full." If we are not experiencing that flourishing fullness of life in Christ, let's look at the Word. How much are we saturated in the Word? How much is the Word in us? How much is it in our thoughts and in our minds? How much is it guiding us? Because Jesus says, "My Word is life. It's Spirit and life." James will tell us in James chapter 1, my own paraphrasing here, but he says, "Humbly accept the Word planted in you," which, does anybody know what it says? Brings life. Brings life. And the fourth subpoint here, God's Word spreads and grows. His Word spreads and grows. And three verses in the book of Acts that use the word oxeno, right? And these are, if you're writing them down, it's Acts 6:7, Acts 12:24, and Acts 19:20. And each one of them has this picture of evangelization taking place through the spreading of the Word of God. In verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "So the Word of God spread." Spread there is oxeno. Flourish, grow. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 12:24. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. It's oxano again. And then Acts 19:20. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely, oxano, and grew in power. And so this is a reminder for us that God's word is for us as individuals and as a church body. But God's word, as it buds and flourishes, it also wants to spread. So this is a reminder for us that as we seek to be people who are embracing the flourishing that God wants for us, that also will not happen without evangelization. We need to get over any fear that we may have about attempting to share the gospel with people who do not know Jesus. A flourishing church is a church that's sharing the gospel. Sharing the word. Not that we're trying to force it into places, but as we're led by the Spirit, as flourishing is springing up within us, do you think we'll be able to hold it in? I think not. We'll be compelled to share it, compelled to see it spread, compelled out of love to see other people experience flourishing in Jesus Christ as we hopefully are experiencing flourishing in Jesus Christ. It grows and it spreads as we share it in our neighborhoods. The third characteristic of a flourishing church is that it's growing in faith. A flourishing church is growing in faith. And there's something interesting in these where oxano is used here. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's the second part of verse 15 and the first part of verse 16. And in that section, it's Paul says, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, oxano, as your faith continues to spread and to spring up and to flourish, as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. So, if a church is a flourishing church, that means that church is a church whose faith corporately is increasing. Our trust in God, our reliance upon God, our hope in God, our faith in God is going deeper and wider. And one of the subsequent things related to that flourishing faith then is that it provides a space where the sphere of God's kingdom can move and expand through that increase of faith. And then Paul says again, and this is another use of oxano, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. He says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing. Oxanos again. Your faith is flourishing more and more. And I love what he does here. He goes on and he says, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. See what he does there? Did you catch that? It's really cool. Because he says, as your faith is flourishing more and more, your love for one another flourishes and increases. So, a picture of a flourishing church is a picture where, man, we just can't stop loving each other enough. It's actually growing. We're loving on each other like nobody's business. What a picture of a church that is, isn't it? That's a picture of a flourishing church. I mean, I think of the book of Acts where, I mean, just think about it for a moment in the history of the church. There was an actual moment where nobody in the church had any needs. Because they provided for one another's needs. What an amazing picture of flourishing church. I think that can happen again today. Why not? Why couldn't God do it? The point of a flourishing church growing in faith in that regard is that as we grow in faith, that faith pushes outwards and that faith bears fruit. A flourishing faith bears fruit. Fourth point, a flourishing church is one that remembers that it's God who causes the growth. It's God who causes the growth. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Flourish, the word oxeno again. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The word oxeno again. Flourish. Only God who makes things grow. And so this is kind of a in some ways, kind of not a precaution thing for us. As we step into what God has for us, we need to always remember that and especially for me or anybody else in a leadership position, the growth that will take place will not be because of any one person. The growth that we will experience, the flourishing that we will experience, will be because God has brought it about. God is the one who causes the growth. What we do is we plant the seeds. And the seeds in Scripture is most often referred to as the Word of God. So we plant the seeds. We speak the Word to one another. We water that seed of the Word. But God is the one who causes the growth. Think about a farmer. We're surrounded by a lot of farmland here. The farmer plants the seeds in faith. Do they not? They do their work and prepare the ground and they plant the seeds in the ground. But for months on end, they have no guarantee that those seeds will come to fruition, do they? Farmers live by faith maybe more than any of us in that regard. But that's kind of the picture Paul is giving us here. But this is a picture of a flourishing church. It's a church that remembers it's all God. It's all God. It's not models. It's not schemes or systems. It's not the charismatic leadership of any particular people. God causes the growth. God causes the growth. So what this means for us is that as we go about this strategic plan, my prayer, my hope is that we would embrace a lifestyle of living and ministering to one another, among one another, and throughout this wider community in a way that God always gets the credit. Not any of us. May God get the credit. And then lastly, the fifth point. A flourishing church is a church that is seeking to make the name of Jesus famous. And this is in some ways related to that last point. But John 3:30 is a short passage, a short verse of Scripture. But John the Baptist is being approached by his disciples. And a lot of people are going from John the Baptist to start following Jesus. And some of John's disciples come up and they say, hey, a lot of people are going over and following him. Like, are you okay with that? Like, what's going on? And his response is gold. Because in John 3:30, he turns to his disciples and he says, he must become greater. I must become less. And that word greater, guess what word that is? It's oxenos. It's flourishing. He must flourish. I must become less. If we want to flourish, our focus will need to be on making the name of Jesus greater. And we are connected to him who is the vine and we are the branches. If he flourishes, we will flourish. Not the other way around. He must become greater. We must become less. I was reminded of something that a seminary professor said in a class probably like 15 years ago or so now. His name was Andrew Mercurio. And I thought it would be good just to kind of end with this reminder in this point. He says, and this is for all of us in light of our strategic plan. He says, as you go about doing the work of the Lord, never forget who is the Lord of the work. As we go about doing the work of the Lord through the strategic plan, may we never forget that He is the Lord of the work, not us. He is. Friends, each month throughout this calendar year, and we'll unpack this more and more as the weeks go on, but each month throughout this calendar year, we're going to be focusing on a particular spiritual discipline, and there'll be Facebook posts about it, and there'll be church-wide emails. So if we don't have your email, make sure we get your email. We'll have emails sent out about it, and with practices and tools, and to keep things before us. And for the first month of January here, the focus is going to be on prayer. So I would begin by just encouraging you, please be in prayer for our strategic plan. Please be in prayer for our church, that we would be a church that is flourishing in these areas that we, based on Scripture, examined briefly today. And as a way to get started, we've already emailed out, and we even have copies out on the table and in the foyer there, that this week, beginning today, is the Brethren in Christ week of prayer and fasting. So each day we have there's a devotional and a prayer guide with that devotional for this whole week, that we would be praying along with the entire Brethren in Christ denomination. But it's just a tool for us to put into practice this discipline of prayer. And again, I just want to emphasize that we need to be regularly lifting this up in prayer, lifting up this body in prayer. Because again, the flourishing will not just come on our own, but only as we remain connected as vines to the branch who is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are so good. And I just want to thank You for this day. Thank You for this moment. I believe, and I'm declaring over this church body, that this is a holy moment right here, right now. This is a moment where things are being loosed and things are being bound. And You have said, Jesus, that you have said that You are giving Your disciples, us, the keys of the kingdom. It's not something You're giving down the road or You gave and took away in the past, but You have given Your church the keys of the kingdom. So in light of that biblical truth, in light of what You have done for us, Jesus, in light of the kings, the keys that we hold in our hands, we pray right now that sin would be loosed, that fear would be let go of, that anything that would seek to hinder us and hold us back would be released, in the sense that it would no longer have control over us. It would no longer have power over us. And we pray that those things would actually be bound in the name of Jesus. And that as we, just from this holy moment that You are bringing about in the life of this church, that as we look to move forward, that we would do so with our eyes firmly fixed on You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We acknowledge that we will not flourish unless we're connected to You, Christ. We will not flourish unless we are growing in Your Word. We will not flourish unless we are growing in our faith. We need to remember, God, that You are the one that will cause that flourishing as we seek to be men, women, and children who are all about making the name of Jesus famous. We bind it and loose it in the name of the One who is more powerful than anything we could fully imagine. And we declare it in faith. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks, church. Love you guys.